So sure, we all get busy schedules and don't have time to spend hours at the gym. That's why there's F45, a 45-minute group workout that's effective as it is fun. F45 sweat-dripping, heart-pumping, high-intensity workouts merge three leading-edge fitness training styles into a functional training experience unlike any other. This experience, accessible to all fitness levels, is built on innovation, motivation, and results that creates an environment which goals are met and exceeded. Whether your goal is to lose weight, build muscle, create healthy habits, or meet fitness-minded friends, F45 has something for everyone. Once you take your first F45 class, you'll be hooked. The pulsing, upbeat team training atmosphere will make you feel welcome, and our thousands of exercise combinations will keep you guessing every day. So, are you ready to find your nearest studio and join the F45 global fitness community? Dial #250 on your cell phone and say F45 membership. They'll send you a location link directly to your phone. That's #250, keyword F45 membership.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer, and I talk to Impact Wrestling's own Don Callis. I mean, what a great voice for Impact Wrestling, executive for Impact Wrestling. We talked to him about all that's going on right now with that organization on today's episode. Also, we talked to Stu Bennett. I've said it before, my favorite wrestling show is NWA Power at 6:05 every Tuesday. We talked to the voice of NWA Power, Stu Bennett. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Is Don Callis there yet? Because we got a lot to talk about.
Don Callis is in the house. My favorite, one of my favorite human beings is here. He gets distracted very easily, so let's not lose his attention because he's like a stray dog. He hears a bell and a whistle, and he just walks off.
Well, I appreciate Don getting up this early in the morning to come join us here on Busted Open. Appreciate that.
Yep, and for all those who remember from Cyrus the Virus to the Jackal, to Don Callis from, you know, New Japan and now Impact Wrestling, our very own, my good friend Don Callis. Good morning. How are you, Donald?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, he's up. He's ready.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. Now, it's been a while since we had Don Callis on the show, so this is great, and I'm glad you're able to come into our L.A. studios. By the way, Tommy, how are the L.A. studios?
They are awesome. Don's, told you, we're on the 8th floor here of the building, and we're in West Hollywood. We're overlooking all of Los Angeles. It's very, very cool.
All right.
We're hobnobbing with celebrities. We're walking around.
I'm walking distance from my old haunt, the Viper Room, where I may be tonight, FYI.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so all the Busted Open Nation go to the Viper Room tonight to see Don Callis. Now, Tommy, you said you're very good friends with Don. Does Don know how much of a fraud you are? Because Don Callis is a diehard Minnesota Vikings fan. Minnesota had a pretty damn good year, did some good things in the playoffs. Tommy, does he know what a fraud you are?
I'm well aware in every way what a fraud Tommy Dreamer is.
First of all, actually, it's so funny you said that because, again, we've known each other for a long time, and he put out yesterday that I've always been a heel in life, because we're talking about, like, for like Tommy Dreamer, you know, I'm usually Tommy Dreamer 24/7 unless I'm home with my daughters. And for Don, he's like, I'm a heel my entire life. Tell them why, because your sports teams, how you like them. He's always been different, is what he says.
I've always been a contrarian. So growing up in Winnipeg, I never cheered for the Jets. I cheered for the Maple Leafs. I never cheered for our football team. I cheered for the Saskatchewan team. And every time I would be at a game of any kind in Winnipeg and I would hear all the hometown marks, you know, living and dying by the team, I took much more pleasure in watching their disappointment. And actually, I was at a Raptors game with Tommy. That's actually a fairly well-known one. Tommy likes to tell the story. I'll let him do it. But it kind of encapsulated my approach to Mark sports fans.
Last year, when the Toronto Raptors win the championship for the entire country of Canada, we went to the game. It's a famous game. You can look it up. It's a buzzer beater shot against the Charlotte Hornets, and it was at home. The guy takes the ball, inbounds it. One of the Raptors players steals it, blocks it, and this guy just goes running down the court and past half court, picks it up, and shoots it like a miracle shot, and it's a three-point shot, and they lose. But as it went up in the air, it was like the entire venue was – it was like a movie. We're all looking up like, no way is this happening. And when it went in, the building was hushed, and set the one person who was sitting next to me went, and it was Don – when he sinks the thing, he just pops like it's the greatest thing he's ever had. And everyone is just like in such disappointment, but except for the idiot that I'm next to, who's just laughing because the baby faces lost in their hometown.
All right. So Don, let me ask you, because you are a big Minnesota Vikings fan, would you rather be at a Vikings home game and watch them win? Or would you rather have them in Lambeau beating the Packers in front of the Packers home crowd?
Oh, Lambeau for sure.
Okay.
I mean, hate the Packers. And it's a struggle to be a Vikings fan the last few years, let's be clear. And, I kind of don't get as invested in them anymore because I've had my heart broken many times.
Okay.
But I still watch them. I mean, I did not think they were getting past the first round this year. So I was pleasantly surprised and not shocked when they didn't do well against the 49ers. So it is what it is. You can't get too invested in these things. It breaks your heart.
Well, I mean, one thing that you have been invested in, and a lot of fans have been invested in for sure, and that's Impact Wrestling on Access TV. Always seems to be changes with Impact Wrestling, but 2019, I think, was a very good year, and it looks like bright things to come for 2020 as well.
I think so. I mean, I look at our roster, and I'll put that up against any roster in the industry. I mean, our top eight is real, real solid, and you get guys like Dreamer on the roster who, is always called Tommy Dreamer. I used to call my good buddy Kenny Omega, we call him best bout machine, and I call Tommy best pop machine because he always gets the biggest pop and really knows what to do out there. So we got a great roster, a lot of great talent. Men and women who work their tails off in there to get the product over, and obviously being on Access is great for us because we're able to reach a much wider audience.
Now, you mentioned Tommy getting the pop, but there's also a lot of younger wrestlers that maybe 6, 7, 8 months ago a lot of fans were not familiar with, but you've done an excellent job of getting those wrestlers over with the crowd. Is there one wrestler in particular that you've been, really had your eye on it that had a strong year and looks really to have a strong year in 2020?
Like Tommy, I kind of came up under the Paul Heyman learning tree or coaching tree, whatever you want to call it. And so I think one of the things that I learned from Paul is, you picking someone and trying to figure out a way to really do a deep dive on who they are and turning them into or helping them discover who they can be. So that's kind of one of the things I like doing best. It's like I'll take a guy and like Ace Austin as an example, mm-hmm. and start working with him on, hey, you're a great wrestler, but that's not what's going to sell tickets. And so start working with Ace on other areas of his character. And I've been doing it with Trey Miguel. Now I'm trying to do it with Daga. And it's like that real deep kind of character dive, because sometimes, you come up with things that are good, but it's not a fit for the person. So you kind of got to figure out, what they're about, where they're coming from, and then that makes it fun. And we're in a business where it's next man up. People come and go. And I remember when Johnny Impact left, oh my God, what are we going to do? And I love John, and one of my favorite talents to work with, but it's like, well, we're going to make somebody else because that's what we do.
And I love what you mentioned Ace Austin, because you made Ace Austin. Not a lot of people knew who he was, and now he's one of the biggest heels on your roster.
Yeah, and he's embraced it, and it's like, we know the guy can do all the moves, and it's phenomenal, and it's like, there was a moment when he won the X Division title, and he and Tessa Blanchard were on top of the ladder, both going at Bound for Glory for the title, and Ace knocked her off the ladder, he grabbed the belt, and instead of just doing what I think he would have done a few months ago, which was just celebrating, he turned and looked to the people, kind of like, yeah. And they just came, and they healed the hell out of him. And I was like, those little things, which didn't take any athleticism to do that, but it's the smart thing to do because you're now engaging the people. In our business, it's so hard right now to, number one, have suspension of disbelief, and number two, have people actually hate a heel. There's very, very few in the industry right now. So when I see that, because I still think that's money, I get very excited.
And Dave, to, you know, back from what we kind of learned from the ECW days with Don, Don will take a vested interest in someone, like Sammy Callahan as well. Sammy, when he first came in, Sammy was, you know, a Don project. And Don especially likes heels. He's a heel in real life. You have no clue. And but when he takes a vested interest in somebody, he really goes above and beyond to help them with promos, to help them with, you know, angles. He's very, very invested in that character. And then once they kind of get over, he just kind of leaves them to their own until he finds a new project. Sadly, he doesn't care that way about everybody on the roster, but that's my job then, because he just and Ace Austin, we all say he sees a young Don Callis in this Ace Austin. He's living vicariously through Ace Austin.
I will say this, and I would ask Tommy Dreamer, in your career, who's booked you better than Don Callis?
No, Tommy Dreamer, but that's
that doesn't count, brother.
And Tommy, you're kind of like with Impact, you're a player coach.
Yeah, and we have, you know, our locker room is a lot different. You know, we have someone like a Rhino who's a player coach. Myself, we have veterans that can still go, and we have a lot of up and comers, and you know, a locker room leader and a locker room guy who is having, I say a guy in his prime is someone like an Eddie Edwards who, when, you know, before with other Impact management, he was, you know, he was involved in a tag team. He was also like just one of those guys who was just known as to being a good wrestler. And then all of a sudden, through a push, through, hey, we think we get something out of this guy, not only singles, but, you know, give him a little character development where he becomes this crazier person, and he has a feud to start off with against me. And, you know, Eddie Edwards is a top star now in the company that just goes out there. And like Don said, I don't know who has better matches and is so undervalued as a talent than Eddie Edwards in this company.
Yeah, Eddie Edwards is, I mean, Eddie Edwards for sure is a talent. And he does, and you're right, he does get overlooked. Is there somebody else, Don, is there somebody else on the roster that you know is kind of that ace in the hole? He's somebody that you know is somebody that's really going to sell tickets and are going to make people want to watch the show each and every week that really hasn't shined like you thought they were?
You know, I think what we're talking about is someone who you see as a diamond in the rough.
Yes.
That has that potential ability. You know, I think when I look at Daga, I think he's a guy that what I love about Daga is keeps himself in great shape. He can work heel, babyface. He can work lucha style, of course, but he also works American style and some Japanese strong style. So he's very versatile. I love the where I was talking with Daga the other day, and he's like, oh, my accent. I'm like, no, your accent is cool. I wish I had your accent, and we don't want to change that. And like a lot of folks who, you know, where English is their second language, they actually think their English is a lot worse than it is. I'm like, your English is great, because like I had an hour of conversation with them, and it's like you want to appeal to all fans, and you want to have diversity, and you want to have different people from different countries that speak different languages that come up through a different wrestling style. To me, there's nothing worse than where everyone's working the same style. I don't want to see that. I don't want to eat steak every day.
Yep.
Some days I might want chicken or I might want lentils, you know? So it's like, let's have some diversity. And I think he's a guy that has the potential to really, really be a breakout star. I think on the knockout side, you know, there's so much talent there. I think Jordan Grace is tremendous. I think Kiera Hogan, I got to say, like, since she turned heel, has really, really stepped up as a character. And there's a great collaborative environment in the locker room. And I know probably every locker room says that. With us, you see it. It's like, so I just want to say too, Trey Miguel is another guy who's really taken steps forward and I think is ready to kind of crash through that that barrier of kind of taking it to the next step. And there is some commonalities. Like I talked to Trey and said, like, look, you're not, you don't need to be more athletic. You don't need to be, have more showmanship. What you need are those little things, those little in-between moments that differentiate a person who can have a really exciting match and a person who can generate an emotional connection with the crowd as a healer baby.
Yeah, Don, I gotta give you a lot of credit, man. Your focus.
Thank you.
Your focus is
Tommy never does.
Your focus is unbelievable. As the nation knows, and those who download the show and watch our videos on the SiriusXM app, we videotape all our shows. And we have a camera in our LA studio, and Tommy Dreamer for the last 15 freaking minutes has been playing with this camera. What's wrong with you? Just leave it in one place. What, you're turning it upside down? You move it to, I don't see Don at all. I mean, how hard is it to just set up the camera so I can see you and the guests that we have at our LA studio?
Yeah.
The camera fell for no reason.
Maybe there's an earthquake down.
That I don't know.
You had the camera upside down. And I see the ceiling. Then I see the floor. Dear God.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM. No car required.
Gentlemen, are you ready to get to the Busted Open Nation?
I just want to say something that's going to be controversial, and maybe it'll get Bubba stirred up, which is fun. I would argue that right now on this radio show, you have the top baby face in the history of ECW wrestling, and without a doubt, and this is out of the mouth of Paul Heyman himself, the best pure heel he ever had, Don, by God, Callis. Thank you very much.
Wow. So we have some breaking news here on Busted Open. As reported on February 26th at around 10:20 a.m. Eastern Time, the biggest babyface ever in ECW and the biggest heel ever is on Busted Open at the same time.
Nice.
Hot take.
It's pretty. That's some news. I think old school ECW fans may say different, but for a long time, for that 1 year we were on the Spike, not TNN, everybody hated you. Both behind
they still
and
do.
In front of this.
Yes, I hated them as well. I hated coming to work every week, but hey, they paid me a lot of money.
He was one of the few who got paid, that son of a bitch.
Well, there you go. And you have the chance to talk to them both, 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. Gentlemen, what do you say we get to the Busted Open Nation?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Cameron in Chicago. What do you got, Cameron?
Good morning, everyone. Calling in from the Windy City. Just want to say hello. And Mr. Callis, I just have to say you remind me of one of the greatest heels I've ever seen in my life. Are you familiar with this gentleman by the name of Cyrus the Virus?
Yeah, that was probably the best heel I ever saw, too.
I mean, the man was amazing. I hated him.
There's a lot of that going around, bro. A lot of that going around.
He tried canceling ECW off the network. Should've. Son of a bitch.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. And then I remember that time that you were, that you put in before where you had to deal with the network, where you were the mouthpiece for the network.
Mm.
Every week you just seem to try to just stick it to the guys.
I appreciate that, bro. And it's just to give a little bit of backstory on it. When I came into ECW, I really came in as kind of like a favorite of Lance Storm, who Paul was trying to keep happy. And Paul, you know, Lance would tell me, Paul doesn't know what to do with you. He's like, do I have him announce? Do I have him wrestle? Do I have him be a manager, cut promos? So for the first few months I was there, I don't think Paul really knew what to do. And he saw me. I had kind of taken like some of the guys I'd seen backstage in terms of Vince's guys, and kind of said like, yeah, I want to be like this kind of, you know, guy who acts like those guys but isn't really in the office, but he pretends to be, kind of like the old George Costanza, show up for work even though you don't work there, but act like you belong. So I was kind of doing that, and I would always tell people, don't worry, just do it. I'm with the office. And it was kind of based on that. And then Paul said, yeah, the office isn't ECW, it's TNN, the network. And so we kind of took it from there. And what was cool about that was once I had that, it was like everyone thought I was working this gimmick, but then it's like, well, no, he's not. He's actually not ECW office. He's with the network. And it gave me some teeth to be able to, you know, take the belt off Rob Van Dam or do whatever. And at that time, it was really, I think, the only kind of heel authority thing that had gone on before that was Vince, who did it better than anybody. But I like to think that we pulled it off nicely. And it's so funny that when I went to TNA in 2003, they wanted me to do the same kind of a gimmick of the authority figure. And in 2003, I made the comment that I thought it was the authority figure was overdone in wrestling and shouldn't be done anymore. And it's still being done today. So there you go.
Hey, if you want to talk about ECW, and we're talking old school ECW, we didn't really have agent for matches, and unless they were needed our help. The first ever match that really ever had an agent was Beulah versus Bill Alfonso, and I was that agent. And then I've known Don, but I didn't know he was an active wrestler or was a wrestler before he came into ECW. I just thought he was a manager, and they were doing Anarchy Rules, correct, Donald? You versus Joel Gertner?
Minnesota, yeah.
And Paulie said, hey, want, you know, pay attention to that, because Don had told me that he really doesn't know what he's doing out there. And
probably had 1,000 matches at that point.
I'm talking to Don and Joel Gertner, who never had a match and wasn't the most athletic, and I'm talking to them like they've never wrestled before. And Don's going, okay, how do I do that? All right. And like, he's totally like wasting my time this entire time of helping agent this match. They go out there. That was one of the first shows that Paul just like put the headsets down, and I pretty much produced the whole show because I was hurt. And I come in the back. I was like, dude, that match was awesome. Like, you dropped this knee, you do all stuff. And he was like, yeah, I've been wrestling for like 20 some odd years. So the entire time, he works me into believing that I didn't know he had him, like, could wrestle, like a true heel, waste my time. And I was like, you son of a bitch. Why don't you just tell me that? We're just like, shut up and not done that.
I'll tell you the answer right now. And it's because I'd wrestled all over the world at that point. I got hired by WWF as a wrestler. But I was very protective of not exposing that I was a good wrestler, because then someone would want me to take bumps for the money I was being paid. So my thing was, once Paul made me into a quote-unquote non-bumping performer, my thing was, no one's touching me, and if someone does touch me, they're going to have to pay to see it. And I had to protect that actively a couple of times, once with Tommy, actually, in Minneapolis. Because it just becomes an easy thing where it's like, oh yeah, we'll just have so-and-so just, you know, drop you on your head or give you a power bomb. It's like, well, why are we doing that? Well, it's for a pop. Well, I'm saving this for a pay-per-view. So I would be very protective of showing what I could do, because the last thing I wanted at that point, after being a non-wrestler for a couple of years, was for someone to go, hey, let's put him in the ring. He's great. And I didn't want that. There was a moment, I'll tell you, like Lance Storm, when Steve Corino got the belt, God bless Steve, I love him, Lance Storm looked at me and he goes, do you regret not being a wrestler when you came here? Because in Lance's opinion, I'm not saying it was the true, he's like, you're a better talker than Steve and your work is better as well. You could have been a world champion here. And I just wasn't, it's funny, like I resisted when Vince made me a manager, I really resisted it for about 2 months. And then once you get away from putting your body through that abuse and you're getting paid the same money, it becomes a lot easier not to go back to it. So I did work Tommy a little bit, but I did not want to become an active wrestler at that point.
You're lazy.
Correct.
Continue.
More money, less bumps. That's a t-shirt.
SiriusXM Fight Nation celebrates Black History Month every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern on The Ak and Barak Show. All month long, the show reflects on the life and legacy of different influential African-American athletes, such icons as Muhammad Ali.
I'm the king of the world.
Kobe Bryant.
You guys will always be in my heart. I love you guys.
Jackie Robinson.
Robinson dashes to the plate. Safe.
And more will be recognized for the impact they made both in and out of sports. The Ak and Barak Show, weekdays noon till 3 Eastern, only on SiriusXM Fight Nation.
Impact Wrestling has definitely been a great different option for pro wrestling fans and a little bit edgy as of late. And I know that on Access TV, they actually have those parental discretion warnings when they're coming back from break. I mean, was that a conscious effort to make the product a little bit more adult oriented?
No, I think what we're trying to do is the same thing we've been trying to do for the last 2 years since Scott and I came in, which is, look, let's find ways to write the most compelling wrestling storylines that we can. Let's do it in a way that highlights the performers. One of the things that I learned from Paul was maximizing who people are, focusing on strengths, not weaknesses. So, you know, I was used to say in business that I was strong in certain areas, and then other areas like, you know, accounting or finance were not my thing. So I decided I would spend my time focusing on becoming the best at the things I was great at, rather than trying to get decent at the things I sucked at. Because guess what? I can hire an accountant. I don't need to be able to do that. So my point being here is if someone, you know, like ECW style, if someone has a bad body, you know, well, cover it up. Because some people genetically just are never going to be able to look good aesthetically. They might be in great shape, but their genetics are not there. For example, I'm staring at Dreamer now, but he's no-selling me, of course. So I think we've just been trying to put on the best show that we can. I know Dave Meltzer had said at one point, for those that place stock in what Dave has to say, which I think there's a lot of people, that it Impact at the time that he said it was the best written wrestling show on television. We take great pride in that because the creative team spends a lot of hours, a lot of late nights working on the details and trying to present a product that we're proud of. So,
and I think the show has been absolutely fantastic, and I'm glad we have this opportunity to talk about it. Let's get back out to the Busted Open Nation. We have a lot of Nation members that want to talk to you, Don. Let's go out to Joe in Pittsburgh. Joe, what do you got for Don?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Love the show. I don't get on every day, but I'm glad I tuned in. Don, I've gotten away from Impact, basically, to availability, bouncing around from different networks. But personally, it's good to hear you on there. Great heel, which we all know is more tough than being a babyface, but you could probably play the other side as well. And I think you could be up there with Heyman, Bischoff, Cornette. Is somebody that could carry some of the top storylines. It seems like you haven't done that as much through the years, and it's kind of to my dismay. Was it heat in different companies, personal choices, or other reasons why you haven't, maybe even people not knowing how to use you like Heyman, why you haven't been as more in the forefront? Because I think you could do it.
Well, I think with Paul and ECW, Paul did all you could ask for from a promoter, which is he let me succeed or fail based on my own merits. And in ECW, I mean, for a period that we're on national TV, I mean, I would make a strong argument that even though I wasn't wrestling, that I was the top heel in the company. So did have that opportunity. My thing has never been like, I was never one of those guys who can't get enough of the limelight, you know? It's like, you want to pay me to not be on camera, I'm totally fine. I mean, I came in here in 2018 with Scott, and you know, I had no, like, people right away saying, oh, you know, you should be the authority figure because you've done it before and we like it. And it's like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. I'm not someone who needs to be in front of a camera, who needs to be performing. Do I like to perform? Yes. But I think I think my job and all of our jobs are to find other people who can step up and do those things. And if I can, in my context of being an announcer, step up and do something to help get a talent over, You know, I mean, I bled for Sammy Callahan 2 months into or 3 months into my reign here, if you want to call it that, in 2018. I got forearmed and knocked out by Michael Elgin in New York. So where I can step up, I will. But I just have never been someone who's like, okay, I want to put myself on television as a performer. So I'm a little bit different like that. So that maybe explains a bit why, you know, I haven't necessarily. You know, when I came to TNA in 03, I really had no desire to be on camera, but that's what I had to do to get paid, so I did it. So it's just one of those things, man.
Well, Joe, thanks for the phone call. One thing that I love that Impact Wrestling has been doing over the last couple of years is that a lot of people were used to TNA being in at the Impact Zone each and every episode. You have done a great job of moving the organization around a little bit. You're just recently in Mexico. I mean, was that a conscious effort? And how do you feel about being on the road?
You know, I think as you get older, you like traveling a lot less. I'm a lot more particular about how I get treated by airlines and hotels and things, and kind of found some workarounds there. Like most people, I'd rather not be on the road, but that's our business. In terms of getting away from Orlando, I mean, I think, shooting 6 days of television, in the same place 6 days straight as I did when Scott and I came in here is really tough on so many levels. And so I think for us getting out to other markets has been really good. And I love the fact that, you know, Len and Ed and Scott and I have been able to work together collaboratively as a team and with AAA and be able to take Impact to Mexico. I mean, that's cool. You know, that makes us international, and you start to mix in some AAA talent, and Conan's been great that way. So I think the more diverse you can be in terms of where you go and the frequency with which you go, I think the more interesting your product and the more you can expose it to new fans.
One thing I love about Impact Wrestling right now is that it doesn't seem to be a lot of filler. It's almost like that the wrestlers are getting an opportunity to be in the spotlight. It feels like the locker room is hungry. Is that the atmosphere in the locker room right now at Impact?
I mean, that's Tommy would see it more than me, but that's certainly what I see with when the talent comes and talks to me. In terms of not being filler, I think you walk a fine line, right, of like another thing I learned from Paul Heyman. I just saw Paul in Winnipeg the other day, actually. I was having lunch with Lance Storm and ran into Paul, so that was really nice. And it's funny seeing Paul, you know, because it's like it's a very friendly meeting, but it's a very kind of on-the-surface meeting. There's not a lot of kind of like, hey, let's sit down and talk about all the stuff we did together, and that's Paul, and that's cool. But one of the many things I learned from Paul Heyman was that you know, there should be something happening in every segment. You don't want dead segments. Now, I balance that off with, I still believe in the kind of All Japan approach of you have six top guys, and those top guys are booked differently than everyone else in the roster. So while everyone should have something that they're doing that's interesting, that adds value to the show, not everyone's a top guy. Not everyone can win all the time. I hate 50-50 booking. So we try to balance having something happening for everyone with, hey, you might have something happening, but, you know, you're not Sammy Callahan or Eddie Edwards yet. Aspire to be that, but you're not there yet.
And you know, Dave, it has what a lot of people talk about would be underutilized talent, you know, in the WWE, or how come they're not pushing this person? How come they're not doing that person? Everybody in Impact gets an opportunity. And even if when they come through the curtain, if they fail, they don't just give up on the talents, and they're coached to how to improve up until the point of, and the one thing that has been different that I've noticed, they tell the talents why. Well, you shit the bed. There's a talent that they basically told, you've had three matches and all three have been bad. If you don't improve, you're not going to be here. And that's great. You know why? Because that's real life and that's real sports. If you don't do your job in the real world, guess what? Sometimes they just let you go, or otherwise they tell you, hey, you are underperforming. You need to perform. Or in real sports, you know, if you're the highest paid player, or if you're the, you know, you could be replaced if you're not performing by this rookie who's not making any other, you know, not a whole lot of money. But that's the business. But at least here, you tell people when they're failing to shove, you know, a foot up their ass to keep them motivated, or you also pat them on the back when they're doing a great job.
Now, I didn't want to. Did we just make this a Kirk Cousins discussion about?
No, we're not talking.
Okay, just making sure
that's on a
because
whole
I wish
network.
Someone would have that talk with Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's not for me. We're talking impact.
And you know what? You mentioned Kirk Cousins, and you're right. Like a lot of times, like when a player that has a lot of hype around them gets an opportunity and doesn't have that opportunity, I think you need to have a little fear. You know, the fear of being benched, the fear of being cut. The fear of being fired. I mean, sometimes that's where you get the best performances out of people.
You know what, Dave? I'll tell you a little story, and this is maybe a story for how the wrestling business has changed a lot. We know about scripted promos now. We know about all this stuff. My first big live promo in the WWF in 1997 was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and they went out. They sent me out there, and they said, okay, your promo is you're plugging the pay-per-view match with the Disciples of the Apocalypse biker gang. Go out and get heat. Those were my notes. And I went out and cut a live promo without any approval, went off what I think they had intended for me. And when I came back, I had Jim Cornette and several other people waiting to shake my hands, high-five me, say, that was a great promo, blah, blah, blah. They had nothing to do with it, but they were like, yeah, you went out and got over. When they lowered me from the ceiling, was like a five-minute promo, which is insane to have a promo that long, especially under those circumstances. I was told, go out and get over. Go out and get heat. Paul Heyman, go out there in front of the crowd. You got 4 minutes. Get heat. Back then, we knew what to do with that. You didn't have to tell me what my lines were. You didn't have to tell me what to say. In fact, I remember in New York City at Hammerstein, Paul Heyman coming to me. One of the few times he gave me instructions, he's like, look, we're in New York tonight. There's 2,200 people here. New Yorkers are different. Just be careful. Like, don't get too much heat. And I just laughed and said, there's no New Yorker in this crowd who's going to stop me from getting heat. And I caused a riot that night. And thank God for Rhino, or I would have had my ass beat pretty good. So that's a different way of doing the business now, where it's like, I think we have created an environment, all of us in the business, where, you know, I think we really need to trust people's instincts, but we also need to coach them before to say, it's okay to be a heel. It's okay to be yourself. It's okay to not script everything. Don't overthink it.
See, Don, and this is an interesting conversation, and it's awesome hearing this from you, because why did the culture change? Because this is what I would think the atmosphere and the culture was for decades and decades. Why and how did it change, especially when that culture was so successful?
I think Tommy might have a better answer for that. I think that at some point it's like, you know, maybe from a corporate perspective, you want to control what people are saying in terms of sponsorships and things like that. But, you know, also, I mean, there's not, like, if you look at who the top 10 promos were in the WWF or WWE in 1999, I would argue that number 10 might be number one right now. It just, there was people that came up talking on television in the territories who knew what to do. And I don't know that there's that infrastructure there anymore.
There's also, Dave, with we actually just had a long meeting with the people at Access Television about good and bad guys. Today in the world, bad guys want to be bad. Wrestlers are always held with a different standard. You know, they don't go to the actor who plays the bad guy in a movie and think that that's that person in real life. But yet, to be a heel, or as opposed to old school heels, they wouldn't care. It's a different time. If people are hating on somebody and they go on there on social media, those people then feel they're personally being attacked. And they sometimes either defend themselves if they're the heel, but they defend themselves kind of like as a babyface. Or it's as simple as, hey, I just wrestled you. We're in this feud, and then you're going to see us taking a picture at Fridays after the show.
Yeah.
And you're not a good heel that way. But, you know, we've discussed this so many times on the show. People sadly hold wrestling characters as their real persona, and that's not the case, as opposed to, you know, like, again, people in movies. And also, there's a lot of people who also are afraid to get real heat. But if you look at people who know how to use social media or use it as a platform to what it really should be, as a promotional tool, then they, those, you can all go and say, like, you know, CM Punk still to this day knows how to use his social media. Matt Hardy, another great person who knows how to use his social media, you know, to his advantage. And when Matt turns heel, or when he did the whole delete character, he spoke all the time like that character, because that's the beauty of professional wrestling. But sadly, it's not held to those standards anymore.
I'll give you another quick example. And again, and I'm not a wrestler, but in terms of the different mentality of protecting the business and baby faces and heels, in 2017, I guess it was, so I was the architect of Jericho Omega at the Tokyo Dome, and, you know, came up with a concept, put it together, made the match happen in New Japan, and I was a commentator. So Jericho had the idea that when he laid Kenny Omega out, I would get up from the announce position as kind of the Bobby Heenan to Kenny Omega's Mr. Perfect at the time, and I would go and check on Kenny. And Chris, who had a 30-year friendship with me that people knew about, would give me the code breaker, and I'd get stretchered out. Well, I had them put a neck brace on me that night, and I wore that neck brace for the next 48 hours in Japan nonstop, and I wore it on a 15-hour flight home through Vancouver. And when I got to Vancouver, I made them get a golf cart for me with the neck brace and take me around the airport, which one fan actually saw me and took a photo and posted it. And I wore the neck brace in Winnipeg for a week as well, and I sold. Now, the idea there is, if a fan does see you, they're going to think there's no one crazy enough in the current context of the business that's going to work that for a week and wear a neck brace. But to me, that's just what you do. If you're a wrestler or you're involved in the wrestling angle, you protect the business. And if I always say, if one fan sees that and goes, you know what, there's no way he's working that because it's 4 days later, then I think you've done your job. I see people sometimes in the industry the last number of years who don't protect it 5 minutes after they take something and post things on social media. And I think you're just doing a disservice to yourself, because you're out there busting your butt and taking bumps, and it's like, you did a great job suspending disbelief, and now you're ruining it for people. It's sort of crazy.
He also does that so he can board quicker, and so he didn't have to, he didn't have to walk from the plane to baggage claim, because, like I said, he's lazy.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Tommy, as you know, and as the nation knows, my favorite show of the week, and sometimes we kind of do our rankings, I do my power rankings, but if I did my power rankings of my top five favorite shows week in and week out, at number one, at the number one position, would be NWA Power at 6:05 every single Tuesday. I watch it on YouTube. I love it. I love the hour format. I love the throwback studio wrestling. And joining us right now from NWA Power is Stu Bennett. Stu, how are you today?
I'm David. It's good to speak to you again. Hello, Tommy.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. Are you in Los Angeles, Tommy?
Yes, sir.
I saw your tweet. I didn't know you were out here these days. I moved here about 6 months ago. It's too hot.
Well, I live on the road. I lived here all week, and then I'm going to go to Chicago tomorrow, and then I come home. I don't even know when I come home. I think I come home March 10th.
Oh, man.
I just live everywhere.
Yeah.
Just give me your address. I'll show up at your house, bro.
I used to do that.
So now you're out in LA. How do you like LA life?
It's honestly too hot. I mean, I'm an Englishman. I like the cold. I like the rain. I moved out here with the girlfriend, and it's too hot. It's been winter for the past kind of 3 or 4 months, and this week it suddenly started heating up again. So I'm dying at the moment. I'm like, people think I'm like a normal guy, but I'm more like a Sheamus. I'm a very pale guy, and I used to use a lot of spray tan, but I'm more like a Sheamus. I can't handle the heat and the sun and stuff like that. So, but apart from that, it's a fantastic part of the world. And what else is there to complain about?
So I'm guessing, Stu, this must have been the girlfriend's idea to move out to LA?
Yeah, absolutely. I think last time I came on the show, I was living in Manhattan.
Yes.
So about 2 years ago, I was out there. So I liked Manhattan. It got a bit hot in the summer, but for most of the year, it was kind of cool. But yeah, the girlfriend kind of got some work out here, so I moved out with her. And it's an interesting experience. I do like the beach, though. The beaches around here are very nice. So I can't fully complain about this town.
Well, yeah, I agree. It's I like it too. It's got a nice vibe at times. Everyone, I think, also was just trying to be somebody else and following their dreams, or you know, won't give up on the dreams. It's like everyone's an independent wrestler in the sense of, I'm not going to quit, brother. I just want to that next movie or TV show's around the corner.
Exactly. Sounds like professional wrestling in a nutshell.
So this is, you know, Stu, this is, and obviously we're going to talk about NWA Power, obviously going to talk about the Crockett Cup, but this is interesting to me because you're right. The last time you were here in studio. You had the movie to promote, which I loved, and you were living in Manhattan. Now you're living out on the West Coast in LA. So I've never lived out on the West Coast. So is it kind of like how a lot of people say, is it like La La Land? Is it a completely different vibe out in L.A.?
Yeah, very relaxed out here. So I was obviously coming from Manhattan, which is crazy hustle and bustle. It's like London. But coming out here, it feels very, very relaxed to me. I'm sure a lot of people around the world will come to L.A. and think it's crazy city hustle and bustle. But my comparison is coming from Manhattan. So, you know, to me, it seems real quiet and relaxed, and a very nice vibe out here. But I've got to crank the AC up. That's my only complaint.
If you're cranking up the AC in February, there's a problem.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I mean, I've been fine for kind of the last 3 or 4 months, and then suddenly this week there's been a heat wave here. It's like 75 outside at the moment, so I'm dying here. Not built for this at all. I'm built for the cold. I need to move to Canada next.
Well, if you're cranking up the AC in February and it's 75, God forbid when it hits July.
That's actually, I moved here in June, May, June last year. So, yeah, I was straight into the fire, so to speak. And, yeah, it's rough. It's really rough, that heat.
Well, speaking
some
of
it, people are fine with it. The girlfriend loves it. So
that's all. As long as she's happy, Stu, that's all that matters. Well, speaking of into the fire, let's get into NWA Power.
Great segue.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. So, Stu, like I said it at the intro, but people who listen to the show know that my favorite show each week is NWA Power. And a lot of people think it's because of this nostalgia and the theme of it. And part of that is true, but you guys have a phenomenal roster right now. I mean, you're new it. You came in, you know, after the whole Cornette situation, but what was it like now being part of the NWA family?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know what? I left WWE probably about 4 years ago now, and I think I probably mentioned it on the show last time. I was very burned out with pro wrestling. I was kind of unhappy being around that world, and which is why I left and went and did some other things in film and TV hosting and that sort of thing. But slowly but surely, my kind of interest started to come back, and like a moth to a flame, I was drawn back to the industry and started casting an eye over some stuff. And I really latched on to the NWA because one of my bugbears about wrestling these days, and I'm going to sound like an old man here, is that it's moved away from the kind of storytelling and the narrative side of, and character side of pro wrestling, which is what I fell in love with being a child of the 80s and the early 90s. That's what I fell in love. That's what hooked me in. But I think that wrestling as a whole has moved away from that and has moved into more of a kind of stunt-based athletic thing where the storytelling, the characters are all secondary now to this kind of stunt and kind of gymnastic style of wrestling that's common these days. So what I love about NWA and what really hooked me in is that they were a hard back to that. The stuff that I love and the promos, the wild characters and the storytelling, and that's what hooked me back in. And I was speaking to David Lagana for about a year. He kept in touch with me. He was you know, trying to get me involved in some way, and I wasn't really sure if I was ready to commit to get back involved in professional wrestling. But then when the commentary spot opened up and you know, and I was offered that position. I grabbed it with both hands, and it's been fantastic. I love it. I'm very excited to be a part of it. It's a thrill to work with such a fantastic roster of people and to be part of a product that I genuinely am passionate about even before I was involved in it. So, yeah, very happy to be involved.
When you look at NWA Power on Tuesday, Stu, like, does it surprise you some of the reactions? Like, the most obvious one would be question mark. But, like, are there certain wrestlers that you see as kind of like that next breakout star?
Yeah, I think some people are obvious. Like, when I turned up, I wasn't familiar really with Thunder Rosa at all. She's the NWA Women's Champion now. So I was very new to learning her. But the very first time I clapped eyes on her and I saw her in the ring, I knew immediately this girl is going to be, you know, box office. She's so good. And that's an obvious one. I think Ricky Starks is another one who's very obvious. He's kind of earlier on the curve than Thunder Rosa at the moment, but he's on this build, this growth cycle at the moment where he's going to go. I think he's really going to go to that kind of A-list level eventually. But again, he's on the build. And then, as you mentioned, there's other people who organically just randomly get over and you never would anticipate it. Like the question mark thing is utterly bizarre, but it just works. People love him. The storytelling is crazy. It's ridiculous, but people love it. And another guy who I wasn't familiar with probably 4 or 5 weeks ago is a guy called Zicky Dice, who's like a kind of an 80s sleazeball character. But I fell in love with him almost immediately. He's a fantastic character and another guy you can't take your eyes off of. So I think the cool thing about NWA is it's run by Billy Corgan and David Lagana. Now, Billy Corgan, if you're not familiar with him, I'm sure most people are, but he is a big musical star, and obviously he was with the Smashing Pumpkins. And I think one of the coolest things about having a guy like Billy Corgan running the company is that he's an artist himself. So he knows what it's like for a record producer or a record company manager to come in and tell him, hey, Billy, I want you to do this with your music for the next album. I want you to, you know, change the chorus up here. And he's obviously going to hate that as an artist. And he understands that as a manager, telling people working under him who are artists, which is what wrestlers are, telling them to, you know, perform in a certain way isn't going to work. So he gives people a lot of freedom. And that's why organically things like the question mark and Zicky Dice and people like that have this potential to get over because they can go out and be themselves and do these characters that perhaps on paper sound kind of ridiculous, but you go out there and it turns out it really works. So giving performers that artistic freedom is fantastic. And that's one of the biggest strengths of NWA, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And Stu, coming from where you're told what to do, as opposed to going out there and getting suggestions or letting your character be you, because no one could tell you how to be you better than you. And if you have a little bit of guidance or a vision and then they say just go with it and blossom, that's so rewarding. And for you, is it difficult to be on the other side of, you know, you're a different type of storyteller now where you're helping accentuate the talents? Is that harder for you, or is it when you say reignited your passion for wrestling, do you dive into it like in the sense of, man, this is, you're helping the matches too, because no matter what, people tune in, they could see guys, you know, doing moves, but you're the one helping with those stories. Are you enjoying that as much as you're enjoying wrestling?
Yeah, I really do, to be honest with you. My favorite part of being a professional wrestler was the character and the promo part of it, which I feel like I completely get to do these days. So I still enjoy that. I still feel like I'm performing, even though my aim as a performer now is to get other people over and get their storylines over. But I still feel like I'm playing a character, and I can be artistic, and I can give performance on that. And a lot of people probably aren't aware, I actually did wrestling commentary in FCW with Dusty Rhodes prior to me even debuting with NXT on WWE TV and Nexus and stuff like that. I did it for about 9 months on FCW TV. So I was the developmental commentator. So that was kind of a passion that grew even before anyone saw me on TV as a wrestler. So it's something that I kind of feel like I've gone back in time to, a passion that grew originally, and then I spun off in a different direction, and now I'm going back in time to this original passion that I had. So I don't feel like I'm missing out not being in the ring these days, but I absolutely adore doing the commentary side of things. I really enjoy it.
Well, I mean, you have a great voice, especially being in L.A. I would definitely look into some voiceover stuff, too, because not only do you look like a Bond villain, but you sound like one, too.
Yeah, I'll have to track down some agents out here and see if I can get some work in that world.
It's well, L.A. It's a thing. That's what you're supposed to do.
We'll do lunch. Stu, so the big news, obviously, why we wanted to have you on is about the Crockett Cup. You broke the news on NWA Power that the Crockett Cup was coming back. Tickets go on sale this Friday at the Gateway Arena in College Park, Georgia, on April 19th. The Crockett Cup, Stu, is back.
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. That's our next pay-per-view, and we really appreciate the fans who support our pay-per-view stuff, because not only does it enable us to produce NWA Power for free every week, which in my opinion is the best single hour of professional wrestling anywhere on the planet, but it helps us to grow as a company, and this is a massive step forward for the company. It's, I think, a 3,000-seat arena, so we're normally filming at the studios, the TV studios in Atlanta, which I think it's about a 300-person capacity. So this is a big step up. So we want to sell out the Gateway Arena for the Crockett Cup. And obviously it's going to stream live on Fight TV too. And it's going to be a huge night. I mean, the main event has been announced. It's going to be Nick Aldis defending the NWA Heavyweight Championship against Marty Scurll, who are two guys I actually started off with in the UK back in 2004. I was in the same training school with those two, so I know them both very well, and that's going to be a killer main event. But on top of that, obviously, we've got the Crockett Cup, which, for people who don't know what that is, it's probably the biggest tag team tournament in history. It's got a lot of history attached to it, but there's going to be a bunch of tag teams from around the world, and indeed from places like Ring of Honor. They're going to bring teams in from there, and you know, we're going to have some NWA greats like Rock and Roll Express, I'm sure, are going to be there too. And ultimately, the winner of this kind of knockout tournament is going to host the Crockett Cup. So it's going to be a very exciting night. It's going to be, yeah, like I say, a massive step forward for NWA, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And I hope we sell it out, and I hope everyone continues supporting NWA like they have so far.
Stu, are you able to wrestle? Like, I don't know why, like, did you just lose your passion for wrestling? Did you get injured? I don't know what happened, like, or do you just, like, are happy what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a bunch of injuries, obviously. I think anyone who's wrestled for a significant period of time is going to have those. But in terms of being able to wrestle, I absolutely can wrestle now. Right now, I don't want to. I want to focus on my commentary. I want to continue doing a bit of acting. Part of the problem is to come back and get back in the ring. I feel like I'll be back on the treadmill of, you know, 150 matches a year or 200 matches a year or whatever that is. I don't know if I really want to come back and just do a one-off match. So I'm either in or I'm out, and I'm not ready to commit to be fully in to getting back in the ring at this point. I'm sure at some point I will. Possibly in NWA, obviously, it's a great landing spot to kind of reignite my career if I want to get back in the ring. But this is a different art for me, and being able to focus on wrestling commentary, which is something I've always loved, and something that I feel looking forward is a career arc that can go for a lot longer than my in-ring days can, shall we say.
Absolutely.
So for the time being, anyway, I'm not looking to jump back into between the ropes at the moment.
And if you look at one of the greatest performers of all time, Roddy Piper, if you go back and watch Georgia Championship Wrestling, he was an anchor to Gordon Solie. And I just started wrestling then. I mean, watching wrestling then. And I was like, how come this guy isn't a wrestler? And then they did this amazing angle, and then he was off. But he had an entire career before that. But he just, you know, like you said, it also helps with longevity, and you are good at what you do. But, man, it's just when the time is right to unleash the Stu Bennett, oh, that'll be great. That's money right there, brother.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very easy angle to jump from the commentary desk to attack someone in NWA if the feeling ever comes across that I want to do that, it's the easiest angle in the world. I'm cutting basically a 1 hour promo every week on the microphone at the moment
right.
doing commentary. So when that moment comes, if that moment comes, and I don't want to tease this because it's not in the offing anytime soon, that's for sure. I think it's the easiest jump in the world to make. So I mean, my eyes on it. If the time is right and the situation works for me and works for NWA, then it's certainly something that could potentially happen in the future.
And right now, NWA Power is hot. There's a lot of buzz around NWA Power. Just under 5 million views for just the short amount of episodes that you've had so far. So I think everybody should really be proud, not only of the product that the NWA is delivering, but, you know, how it's been acknowledged by the fans.
I agree. One of the best things about the digital revolution is the tearing down of those barriers to entry for professional wrestling to get worldwide exposure. You know, once upon a time, obviously, you had to have the big TV contract. Now, those things don't exist. It's if you want to find good wrestling, if the wrestling you're used to watching isn't giving you what it used to give you, go dig it out. There's a lot of companies out there. Obviously, I'm going to pull for NWA. I think it's a fantastic product. And in my opinion, it's the best single hour professional wrestling anywhere in the world on a weekly basis. It's NWA Power, which is free on YouTube. But you have options out there these days. That's the amazing thing about this digital revolution for me, and really levels the playing field. You don't have to be some crazy billionaire to dominate the scene anymore. Although it helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that would help.
Stu, for that main event with Nick and Marty, since you started with both of them, who do you think has the advantage?
Well, I'm going to pull for Nick. Going back to when I started with them both, I was about 24 when I met those guys. Nick was probably about 18, and then Marty was about 15 years old. And I kind of made the jump to the US before either of them, based on the fact that I was older than them for the most part. And then Nick made the jump. And I think Marty has always kind of been in that shadow because he was the youngest one. So to this day, I still look at Nick as the bigger one, the older one, the more advanced one. But as we said, Marty has built an incredible career for himself, and he's world champion material in his own right. But Nick has the pedigree, he has the history, he is the world champion, and Marty has said time and time again the reason he wants this is because he has never been a world champion. So I've got to back the guy with the history as the world champion. It's going to be a hell of a match, and I'm looking forward to calling it. But at the moment, I've got to back Nick because he's been there. He's climbed the mountain. He's standing at the top of the mountain right now. And it's up to Marty to prove that he can knock him off.
Well, if Marty Scurll loses, I mean, it's going to cost him a pretty penny. So he better hope he wins that NWA championship at the Crockett Cup.
Yeah, if the rumors are to be believed, he's got a big money Ring of Honor contract. So I don't know how much they're paying him. but I'm sure it's going to hurt anyway. But, the key is really the money is one thing, and that's going to sting. But I know he wants to be the world champion. That's it. And I always wanted to be world champion myself, and I've never been a world champion. So I know the feeling. Nick has been a world champion. Nick is a world champion. So I understand the drive, and the money is going to sting, but it's going to sting even more for Marty if he loses that match and walks away not being the world champion.
Well, the Crockett Cup, again, tickets go on sale this Friday. Crockett Cup is taking place April 19th at the Gateway Arena in College Park, Georgia. Tommy, I'm thinking, as a big NWA fan that I have always been, especially right now, I need to be in Georgia on April 19th. So I'm going to find somehow, some way, I'm going to finagle my way into the Gateway Arena in College Park for the Crockett Cup. And I am asking the Busted Open Nation to do the same, support this great show. So I hope myself and the rest of the nation are going to be part of that 3,000 fans that are going to fill that arena for the Crockett Cup on the 19th of April.
Hey, David.
Stu, that's...
Wait a second, Tommy. Don't talk over Stu.
You and Tommy team up, and you can enter. You get a free ticket by entering the tournament.
Me and Bully would no problem enter that. Me and Dave, no. I do enough jobs. And, Stu, I just want to tell you, that is American. How he's plugging that is for he wants free tickets. Just so you understand, his carny, that's him.
Well, I mean, it would be great support. The Nation, I mean, that's free advertising, Tommy.
I hear you. Yep.
Well, speak to David Lagana. I'm sure he'll hook you up.
Oh, he loves me, Dave Lagana. Stu, thank you. And fat chance I'm going to be getting in that building. Stu, thank you so much for the time. I truly, truly appreciate it. And you're right. I mean, this is probably the best hour in pro wrestling is on Tuesday nights at 6:05. And again, the Crockett Cup, April 19th. Tickets go on sale this Friday. And Stu, thank you so much for the time today.
No, thank you. Love the show, guys. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Thank you.
All right, Stu Bennett.
See you, Stu.
Awesome job by Stu Bennett, and I agree. I love NWA Power each and every Tuesday, Tommy. And again, we always talk about it. We preach it here on Busted Open. There's a lot more options out there more than ever before, AEW, WWE, but Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, NWA Power. I mean, we're learning about those. Today's a perfect example about all those options that are out there.
Absolutely. You and I talk about it. All of our television viewing has totally changed. Our professional wrestling viewing has changed. For me, Tuesdays is my favorite day for wrestling, as much as I enjoy Wednesdays, but I'm usually tired because I have to do the show. But Tuesdays, man, I get options and I get to see other storylines and I get to see the NWA Power has a completely different look and feel. Impact has a completely different look and feel. And AEW has a complete, and that's all available just to me on Tuesdays. And, you know, go out there and like Stu said, like I say, like you say, go out and support what we love, and that's professional wrestling.
I'll tell you what, Tuesday nights are fantastic. Wednesday nights are fantastic as well. Two big shows. NXT, as you mentioned before, Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair tonight on NXT, Tommy.
That's going to be probably one of the better athletic performances and wrestling matches we're going to see. I'm excited for it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to catch it live because I'm not allowed to watch AEW while I'm sitting in an Impact creative writing, but I already said I have to watch it for the show. So
yeah,
my heart's in AEW, but you know what? This NXT match has me stoked. I was surprised when they announced it because, again, I feel that has WrestleMania implications.
And, of course, for AEW, this is going to be a really big show for AEW as well because this is the go-home show for what we're going to see this weekend for AEW Revolution.
Yes, and they've just been delivering quality entertainment. I'll be in Chicago this weekend at C2E2 as well, where the show is going down, and it's going to be exciting. And then tomorrow, I wish I could be on the show because tomorrow's the Saudi thing, and The Undertaker is in Saudi Arabia.
Don't get my hopes up just to dash them, my friend.
I'm letting you know he's there. Internet spoiler. Undertaker's there. They ruined it, the Saudi's Twitter account.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.